ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Israel has begun military strikes in the southern Gazan town of Rafah, even after Hamas announced it had accepted a proposed ceasefire. Israel says that the ceasefire is far from meeting its necessary demands, but still says it will send negotiators to Cairo. It's vowed to push on with a 90-day plan to invade Rafah to pressure Hamas to release all the remaining Israeli hostages. Dr. David Kilcullen is a former diplomat and soldier and an expert in urban warfare and counter-insurgency and joins me now. David, good to talk to you again. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hey, Sally. Thanks for having me.
Look, can we have a look at the backdrop first? How significant is this announcement from Hamas that it's agreed to a proposed ceasefire, do you think?
There seems to be a lot of confusion about exactly what they were agreeing to. And it's notable that what triggered the actual Israeli move into Rafah that's happening now was a rocket attack that Hamas also claimed on the Israeli Defense Force just outside the strip. So there seems to be at least a couple of different things going on between the Hamas negotiators in Cairo and Hamas commanders on the ground. And then on the other side, the Israelis seem fairly determined, I think, to move forward with this operation. And as a result, they're not being deterred.
Strategically, militarily, politically, why is it important for Israel? Why does it want to go into Rafah now?
This is about, for Israeli commanders and particularly for the Israeli political leaders, it's about finishing the job that they started 6 months ago after the October 7th attacks. Twice in the past, in 2009 and 2014, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, went into Gaza for limited objectives and then pulled out again. And on both occasions, Hamas rebuilt itself stronger than before. So there's a sort of view of, third time, this time we're not going to withdraw until the job is fully completed. And in an operational sense, that means breaking the back of the organized Hamas battalions that are still in the Gaza Strip. And there are six of those, two in the central Gaza Strip and four in Rafah. So Israeli commanders now would, I think, suggests that the job is not done until those organized elements of the Hamas main force are destroyed.
For the Israeli commanders on the ground, take us through what are the sort of accepted numbers when it comes to trying to go into an urban environment as an offensive force. Is it 4 or 6 to 1 that you basically need so many troops to go in when someone else is holding a defensive position in that environment?
It's certainly true that urban operations are one of the most expensive you can conduct in terms of the numbers of troops involved. In this case, it's a little more complicated because you've got a couple of minutes ago before we started talking, the Israeli tank force started to attack the Kerem Shalom crossing, which is in the southeast corner of Gaza. They seem to be doing that with main armament, with tanks, essentially trying to destroy the crossing point fully, just using firepower, not troops. And we then expect them to go in a fairly tentative fashion, led by bulldozers and tanks with infantry moving along with them. The first thing they're going to encounter when they get into Gaza is actually the Gaza International Airport, which is a fairly open area with some terminal buildings. And then on the other side of that is East Rafah, which will probably be the first area that they encounter. That's a very densely built up area, but it's been subjected to about 50 airstrikes in the last few hours. So it's quite heavily damaged. So I think what they're trying to do here is to lead with firepower, if you like, in order to make up for the need for large numbers of troops to go in on the ground. But they'll still have to go in eventually in order to get the job done.
And David, why are we seeing this demarcation? We were talking to someone from UNRWA earlier. So the message has been to around 100,000 people in the east of Rafah to go, but there may still be a million or just under a million people in the rest of Rafah. Why this demarcation in that part of Rafah?
So the area that I mentioned earlier that was shelled by or rocketed by Hamas yesterday is that Kerem Shalom crossing, which they're trying to destroy as we speak. The other area that was just ordered to be evacuated by the RDF yesterday and today includes the Rafah crossing itself, which is the other major crossing into the Gaza Strip from Egypt. And the RDF has warned civilians to stay away from the border with Egypt as well as the border with Israel. So I think what that suggests is they're trying to cut off any maneuver space for Hamas in the area so they can then go in and clear that. Basically, it's an area of about seven districts that are next to the airport in order to basically contain Hamas. And they've established a safe evacuation route and directed civilians to move to the city of Khan Yunis, which is a little bit further to the northwest. A lot of people are concerned about that because on previous occasions, when told to move to particular areas, they've still been shelled or hit with airstrikes when they arrived there. So it's not clear that all the civilians in that area either wanted to move or if they wanted to, would have been able to move in the time.
So there'll still be large numbers of civilians, even in Rafah, though, very close and adjacent to this unfolding operation.
Yeah, I think you would have to assume that as you go in, that the buildings that are being attacked will have both Hamas fighters, possibly Israeli hostages, and Palestinian civilians in them.
What do we know about the kind of forces that Israel will be using for this operation and the state of its forces at the moment? It's been involved in this conflict for quite some time. There's some political turmoil in Israel. What do we know about their capabilities and motivation at the moment?
Yeah, so I think the motivation of troops on the ground seems to be quite solid. There has been some turmoil in Israel, as you mentioned. The Israeli police just recently, in the last hour or so, cleared a major highway that was being blocked by protesters calling for a ceasefire and opposing the idea of the offensive. Likewise, there have been other groups of protesters blocking humanitarian aid from coming in from Jordan into Gaza because for the same reason, they want the hostages back. So there's been a lot of, I'd say political disagreement within Israel. It's not a single unified point of view. As for the defense guys on the ground, Israel operates in brigades. That's their basic structure. And there are air, artillery, and electronic warfare assets, as well as drones operating to support those brigades. The brigades are centered on tanks, armored personnel carriers, and armored bulldozers, which is a particular specialty of the RDF in this kind of environment. So essentially, they'll be trying to move forward in a fairly measured way, step by step.
David, David, we're just running out of time there. That's David Kilcullen. You're listening to RM Breakfast.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.